Chapter 4, Mark chapter 4. We have started last week, and we started on the foundations of hearing. Everything about hearing is so important because it affects our life in such a way until nothing else affects us the same way. What you hear, you're able to respond to. And you're able to do, and then God is able to do great things because you hear and respond to or obey the Word of God. So I want to give you a couple of things. Now, I started out last week again, like I said, with the message on foundational, and I don't know if Brother Dwayne has that or not. Do you have the CD of that? Okay, what I'd like for you to do is, for the next few weeks, is if you can get a copy of that, and you, especially if you were not here, but if you would get a copy of those messages and spend some time, quiet time, listen to them, spend some quiet time, and allow God to speak to your heart about hearing, how important hearing is. When I was growing up, I constantly heard the thing, "Boy, are you listening? Are you hearing me?" I'm still using that same principle for my wife, Miss Gloria. She very seldom listens to me, and I talk to her all the time. And I'm just kidding, of course, but it is true how we're so not doing what we hear that we're supposed to be doing. And I want you to look at this one particular verse. I'm not going to read all of them that I have here, but I'm going to read this one particular verse. It's Mark chapter 4. In verse 24, the Bible says, "And he said unto them, Take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." Now, I want you to pay close attention to this. I want you to associate Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. You don't have to turn there or unless you want to mark it down or whatever. But Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, he begins in that chapter by talking about a bowl or a plate of fresh summer fruit. He talks about all the things that God has done for his people. And has people have not obeyed, not done what they should have done. And so then he ultimately gets to the place to where this thing catches up with God's people. I believe this is caught up with America, okay? Now listen to what this verse says. The verse says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Now, in Jeremiah, I believe it's in chapter 26, Jeremiah says to the people of God, he said, "Now, you want to know what God has to say and what God is speaking and doing. And I'm telling you that the preachers standing in the pulpit, they are speaking on God's behalf. They are telling you what the Bible says." I'm not talking about all the translations. I'm not talking about all that bunch of junk. What I'm telling you is that the Bible, the Word of God as it is, doesn't necessarily have to sound good to you, okay? Because it is God's mind, God's heart. So there's many things there because He is holy and righteous and pure that won't match in or fit into your life. It just won't do it because God is holy. But when we accept what God says in His Word about what our life is and how we're to respond to God and to obey His commands, God begins a little here, a little there, begins to change your life. He begins to do things that will impact your life for all eternity, not just for time. You know, I heard a guy say at a funeral one time, "I have something that 100%, 100%, you don't get 100% or nothing, but 100%, he said, all of you is going to die." That's going to happen. You're either going to die or you're going to have the same picture or type if the rapture takes place and you're a Christian. It's a type of death. You're going to change. It's not going to be the same. In a twinkling of an eye, that's not the blinking of an eye, twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up together with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's going to be a change in our life. A lot of us older folks are looking for the change because we get a new body, and so we're looking for that. I told Steve this morning that my apparatus is not working below my belt. When I get up and try to move around, my hips are all hung up. And, you know, I need a little WD-40 or something like that. But there's going to come a time when we're going to have a new body. It's hard to contemplate that. It's hard to figure that out. But God is going to do that. In the twinkling of an eye, we're going to have that new body that He's promised us in His Word. And we'll be with Him for all eternity. So So many times we listen to these words, and yet we don't hear what they say. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, he said they hear, but they don't understand. They don't comprehend. They don't hear really what I'm saying. So the idea is, and let me say this, the attention of a congregation or a group of people is so much harder than the homiletics that we try to learn. It's how you do your voice and how you speak and how you stand and how you direct yourself. That's not nearly as hard as the attention of God's people, to get God's people to hear. Focus on. In other words, be mesmerized, not by Brother Billy, but by the Word of God, what it says. Now watch me here, and I'm going to give you five examples of God's people and what it did. The Bible, from the front cover to the back, is about us hearing what God has to say. Why did God give us a Bible? So that we could understand and know what has happened, history past, and what's happening at the present, and what's going to happen one day. Look at Revelation, tells us what's going to happen one day. So we know that if we'll just hear what God has to say, if we'll focus in on the idea that we're going to hear what God says, and we're going to do it. Okay, now if you don't intend to do it, you might as well get up and leave and go about your business, whatever you want to do. But if you want to hear in view of doing it, then you're going to be blessed. And you won't fit into this category that he said will be dull of hearing. Okay? So let me say, I've already given you what Amos said. I've already given you what Matthew said. They're hearing, but they're not understanding, comprehending. The first thing I want to say is Noah. Now, somebody said, well, them just your stories. Them really didn't. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Bill Cosby one time, in a laughing way and all this stuff like this, talked about Noah running around and getting the two animals to put them on the ark. Okay, now that's the humanistic way, and I will agree, it was funny, but it makes no sense whatsoever. In other words, it took away the deity of God and exalted mankind. Let me tell you something. Noah heard from heaven, and God told him to build an ark. Now, why would God tell him to build an ark? It had never rained. There was no such thing as rain. He watered the ground from beneath. And so here's Noah, and God says, I want you to build this monstrosity of a boat. And I wonder, how's he going to get it to the water somewhere? You know, what's he going to do? He's out here, and he's... But Noah, the Bible says, believed God. And guess what? You can say what you want to, and you can listen to scientists, you can listen to anybody and everybody you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. There was a huge ship that Noah built. And he preached for 120 years, and indirectly he told him what the ark was about. And I'm telling you today, our ark is Jesus Christ. Amen. Our ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. You better get in. Yep. Now, the animals came to the ark. Not all of them, the ones that God selected. Two by two, some were seven. But I'm saying they came two by two to enter the ark. They walked up that plank and went into that ark. And it was because of God's direction. Now watch me. God brings conviction in our heart because of the truth of God's Word. You better hear the truth of God's Word. By the way, this famine in the land is in America today. You can drive your wheels off of a vehicle and go a lot of places. This church is not exceptional, but it is. This pastor is not exceptional, but it is. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's not because of this building. It's because of the truth of God's Word. You can go to a lot of places and never hear one iota of truth in a church service, and they think they've done something great when they go to church and get dismissed and go home. Now, I'm just telling you what God says. And I don't have any responsibility or apologetic thing to say to people because of the Word of God. I don't care. So I said, well, I don't believe in the rapture. That's fine with me. But it's going to happen. I don't believe in the resurrection. Sorry. It's going to happen. Noah built the ark because what? God, he heard what God said. By the way, God gave him every dimension of the ark. Now I want you to know something. There's no way to steer it. What boat would it be like to have a boat and you can't steer it? Amen? Noah didn't know where to go, no how. He was building the ark and God's going to drive it. And Brother Pruitt, he put it exactly one into Mount Arrakis where it landed. It's still there. Isn't that good? They had a pilot fly over, and he said, I thought I see a little tail end of the ark. And so these guys get on these expeditions, they go up there and everything. By the time they get there, it snows again, covers up, they can't find it. Noah built the ark because he heard from God. And he was obedient to what he did. Gideon. I love Gideon. I love Gideon. He was hiding and running around and sneaking around. And God said, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said, say what? Mighty man of valor. Gideon was a mighty man of valor. His daddy had idols of some other gods in his house. But Gideon was chosen of God, and God spoke to Gideon, and he told Gideon what to do. He heard from heaven, and he believed God, and he was, somebody said, well, was Gideon really a mighty man of valor? Sure he was. God said he was. He had to teach Gideon that he was, but Gideon was a mighty man of valor. Listen, let me ask you something. What if the most impossible thing that you have to encounter today, and God told you, go ahead and do it, because you can do it. I said you can do it. He talked about the woman that Justin works for said he couldn't come down here. So we're praying that God will do whatever, amen, but accomplish what we need to do. Not only that, but Aline Brown is not doing well, and we're not supposed to spread that around. We're not supposed to do it. She don't want people to know, you know, how people are. I don't know why they're that way, but it's true. She's just not doing well. So he needs to come see her, and so on and so forth. But the key is that Gideon heard from God, and Gideon was a mighty man of valor, and Gideon got the victory. He destroyed 135 to 185,000 Midianites with 300 men. And by the way, let me describe the great machine guns and the stuff that they had. Okay, they had a pitcher. You know, pour tea out of it. They had a pitcher. It had a candle in it. And they were to come off the mountain and shout, you know, Gideon in the arm of the Lord. And they were to break the pitcher. And that was it. They didn't have anything else. And they defeated the Amorites. Now, that tells me that God can do anything with anybody anytime he gets ready. That's the sovereignty of God. So Gideon was another picture of hearing what God has to do and applying that principle. You know what we're going to have? I got a little old banner we're going to put up here later for days of refreshing. Where Isaiah 40:31, he talks about to renew you, to renew you. That's why I said a while ago about that song. You need to be renewed. You need to get out of the rut. Somebody said there's a sign in Alaska that says pick your ruts carefully because you'll be in it for the next 200 miles. Amen. We're in a rut. We're not hearing. We're not applying. We're not dwelling on. We're not thinking about. You don't even think about God. Well, I'm going to get up tomorrow and do that. You may not. I'm not trying to be vague or dark or ugly or rude. Listen, you don't know what's on tomorrow. There's an idiot on both sides of the world who would love to send a missile and destroy America. Let me tell you something. We got a lot of things. I was in the military. I'm telling you, we got a lot of things that we can intercept those kind of things. But I want to tell you something. One gets through. The first time they fired the Atlas missile, which was a monstrosity, it splashed water on the target when it went into the ocean. The first time they ever shot it, one of them, or tested it, that's what happened. Now, it didn't have a warhead on it. It didn't have none of that. We were perfecting the missile itself. We have stuff that scare you to death. And think what these other countries have. I'm not saying. We're still under the umbrella of God. Okay? When you pray, you don't pray for your government, and you're supposed to pray for your government, but you don't pray for your government like you should. You're praying to a God who is in control of all things. And you're addressing Him. You're saying, Lord, we lay this at your feet. When you get up in the morning, thank God that you got up. I did this morning, Steve. Thank God that we can go. Thank God that we can do what we do. Praise the Lord. You young people, listen to me now. You take for granted you got tomorrow. Don't take for granted nothing in this world. I'm going to tell you something. If God puts it in your heart, it's happened years ago. We were talking along these lines, and Peggy just got up and went over and kissed her mom, went smooching on her mama. You say, what are you talking about? She said she just believed God told her to do it. She just got up and went over and smooching on her mama. Amen. We're not bound by some of the guidelines we place on ourselves. If God speaks to you, it has a reason. Because why? He knows everything. He knows where you'll be now, and He knows where you'll be in eternity. So not only Noah and Gideon, but Abraham heard from God, and he moved out and became the father of the Hebrew nation of people. God chose that man to be the father of the Hebrew people. Now, watch me. He lived in a heathen world. He lived in a heathen place, heathen country. And God said, Abraham, I want you to get up and move. Abraham said, yes, sir. Got up. Sarah, pack the mules, camels, whatever they had. Get everything loaded up. We're going. You know how women are. Some of you young people don't know how women are. But I'm telling you, you ask Ed, you ask me, you ask Joe. I don't care how spiritual, how wonderful his wife is. I don't give a rip about none of that stuff. She said, where are we going? And he said, I don't know. Now, you know how that went over? Like a lead balloon. And she said, now look, Abraham. Now, this is paraphrasing. I'm paraphrasing here now. And she said, now look, now how are we going to go somewhere we don't know where we're going? And he said, I don't know. God told me to get up and leave. We're leaving. Now, I don't know where we're going, but I know. And so, where did he end up? Right in the will of God. What was one of the things that he had? He wanted a child. He wanted children. And he couldn't have them. His wife was barren. And then finally God said, you're going to have a son next year. Sarah laughed. Watch me, men. And the Lord turned to Abraham and said, why did she laugh? Ladies, give me a break. You're under the head of somebody who is responsible for you. He's going to come to him and say, what's wrong with your woman? I had a guy one time, his wife was causing trouble in the church, and I took him in there, and I said to him, his wife wasn't there that day, and I took him in the office, and I said, listen, you need to get your house in order. Get this thing straightened out. He said, I can't do nothing with her. I said, you do it. I said, now watch me. I will. I'll do it right here in front of the church. But it's your responsibility to keep your house in order. Now go see to it. Guess what? 2 weeks later, they changed and went to another church. You say, what are you trying to say? You run them off. I didn't run nobody off. He's the one that run them off. And he'll stand before God. Okay? I'm not trying to be facetious, people. I'm telling you what this book says. So when Abraham's wife said, where are we going? He said, I don't know, woman. Just keep on loading. We're out of here. And then Moses, he was called the friend of God. He was told that he could go down to Egypt's land and lead God's people out. And Pharaoh had no part in it, wasn't going to have anything to do with it. And he went through the Red Sea on dry ground, hallelujah. Got on the other side, and for all that time, God's people were not willing to distrust God like Moses was. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. What's wrong with you people? Open your spiritual eyes and you can see God is everywhere. So we have here again, he was told, Moses said, I can't even talk. And God said, who made your mouth, Moses? You know, every once in a while you just get to think about who made your mouth? Who made this? Who made that? Who made your ear? We're talking about hearing. Who made your ears and the ability to hear the truth of God, which will set you free? Or go on and do your own thing and do it your own way, and you'll see the results in your life. You know why our schools are in the condition they're in, that all these poor people down there got killed? Because they took God out of the school. You say, now, Brother Billy, that's not... Yes, it is. When I went to high school, we had a morning prayer in our school. And not only that, those that didn't want to go to the thing in the auditorium, it was over the sound system. They couldn't get away from it nohow. They had standards. I watched some of those kids come out of that building the other day, and I never seen such shabbily dressed kids in my life. No respect for this, no respect for that. Have a little respect in your life. You don't like me? That's okay. Respect what I am. The office of the pastor of the church. You respect that, and God will bless your life. But we don't respect nothing. We do what we want to do. We go where we want to do. You know, listen, when I dated Miss Gloria, she didn't have to be home until 11 o'clock at night. Brother Joe, this is bad stuff here now. I had to be home at 10. Man, I was 16, 17. I was grown, man. I knew everything. My mama said, you be home at 10 o'clock or I'll take your car away. Wait a minute, I paid for the car. I'm paying for the insurance. What's the matter with you? It's my car. No, it wasn't. Bless God, if I wasn't home at 10 o'clock, that took my car. You know what I could do? I could, and it happened to me many times. I'd try to stay with that sweet thing as long as I could. I'd drive 150 miles an hour. Well, it wouldn't go that fast. But anyhow, I'd drive as wild as I could. I'd get home, and I'd be 5 minutes late, and guess who was standing at the door? So for 2 weeks, Brother Ed, I couldn't drive my old 48 Chevrolet nowhere. Had skirts on the back. It was cool. You know what I did? I'd go out there and crawl up under that thing and look at the muffler. I'd look at the engine from the back. I'd see if it had any leaks. I'd vacuum it. I vacuumed that thing every day. Cleaned it up. Had her shined up. All the windshield was polished and all. Everything like that. But I couldn't drive it. Let me tell you something. I was a pretty good kid in school. That's my opinion, and I'm proud of my opinion. But if I got in trouble at school, man, I got in trouble when I got home. I wasn't worried about the preacher taking the paddle and taking me out in the hall and busted my fanny with that paddle. I had to bend over and hold your ankles, and man, he'd lay the leather to you. Amen. It was a board. But they'd send a note home. A dirty, no count, sorry, sneak behind your back note to your parents. And when I got home, my mother, who was not that big, would make me lay on the bed, and she'd beat me till she'd run out of air and wind. And she said, if you ever do that again, I'll kill you. I will kill you, graveyard. You ever do that again. Now, I don't know if she would have killed me, but I know she meant it when she said it. And then, when my stepdad come home, she'd say, tell him what you did. You're sorry, no count. Da-da. Now, she didn't say that, but that's what she meant. Just go ahead and tell him. So I would start to tell him. He had a strap on the door, a razor strap. He got it from his grandpa and his parents way back there, and he kept it as a souvenir, except they used it on me. So he would whoop me again. Now, I don't know about the law, but I think that's wrong. You can't try a person but one time, and it's over, right? But everybody. And then a week or two later, if they thought about it again, they would do it again. It's the truth. My boy's questioning that. See, he need to train them kids up right. Just beat the fool out of them all the time. No, what I'm saying, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm saying we have no standard for our kids to live in today, and they're blowing one another away. It's not safe. 10 years after I graduated, my little brother had to have an ID card to get in school. Had to have an ID card. To get into high school so he could have an education. Let me say something. When I went to high school, I had a good time. Amen, I had a good time. I mean, we had one of them 46 or something like that Fords. It had the two doors up here, but the back had a long back on it. And we took hacksaws and cut the top off of that car. Us boys did. And we drove that thing to school. And didn't have any brakes. You know, you just gear it down. And you could stop at a red light like that. We had a good time. We enjoyed it. It was not robbing stores. It was not beating on people. It was not ganging up on people. It's not bullies. And you know why that's true? Because the school had standards. When they took, listen, I had many a teacher correct me with the scriptures. I'd get in trouble in a class. Teacher would read me some verses and tell me, you need to get right, boy. Now, yeah, that's unheard of. It's because in 1973, we let some witch woman over here in Austin, and how that happened, I'll never know. It's full of the devil. But they took prayer out of the school. Now, the Muslims, They can bow so many times a day. Hey, man, you say you're making fun of religion. Yes, I am. When America will allow somebody like that to press on us, their beliefs, and they say, if your belief, you need to kill, we need to kill you, or you need to join up with us. Now, people, I'm telling you, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but I've had a belly full of that mess. Somebody said, well, that offends me. So what? I mean, when I see kids walking down the road, they watching other kids. And when I see their pants down below their buttocks, I ain't going to tell you what I'm thinking. I'm a little guy, Brother Pruitt, but I believe I could whoop a lot of them. And it's not past. I'm just telling you the way I'm thinking. You're saying, Brother Billy, you're not supposed to be that way. Oh, yeah. Is that right? We have allowed everybody in the world to dictate to us what we are, what we can do, what we can think, where we can go, what we can do. And that's all government and a bunch of that junk. It's all junk. Because we haven't relied on God. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? You can have revival before you leave this church today if you'll just hear God's word and believe what God said. So you have all these examples here, and I'm not going to be able to, I don't know what I'm going to do here. But anyhow, Moses believed God, and he was called, Ms. Effie was called the friend of God. Can you imagine God saying that? That's Barbara, she's my friend. And that's exactly what he says. You hear me? That's exactly what he says. A friend is a friend who opens up to each other and relies on one another and depends upon one another and believes one another and trusts one another and live together in happiness. Moses was the friend of God. I don't know which one I want best, to be a friend of God or to be a servant of God, and Moses was both. God kept referring over and over again, my servant Moses. My servant. God is saying, boy, this is a personal thing. He's my man. More than anything else, I want it to be said about me that I was his man. I was his man. I was his servant. If you could say something about me, say that he loved Jesus. He loved God. And wasn't afraid of the people's faces. It doesn't make any difference what I think about you. It doesn't make any difference what you do with what we're talking about today. It does make a difference in your life what you do with the Word of God. Do you know why most of God's men get depressed? And they say, why should I do this? Why should I stand up here and do this? The people ain't listening. You know why? Over and over and over and over again, a gracious and glorious God gives you opportunity over and over and over again. But the time could run out. We need the truth to set us free. This is the truth, and this is the only truth. Don't listen to some person who, and I'm not saying you shouldn't use the different books to help you as you study. I'm not saying that. But a lot of them want to direct the attention of their teaching to themselves and not to God. It's all about God. It's not about me and it's not about my teachings. It's about God. Last week I opened my Bible up, Brother Ed, and dumped out all the stuff in there that pertained to Billy Barho on this table. I dumped it all out right here. All of my notes, all of my little gospel tracts, all of my marking things that I marked the Bible with. I dumped them out here and said, this is not that important. This book is. It's what's in this book that counts. Praise God. By the grace of God, I will preach this book and that's it. But these are helps that help me to be able to do what I do. Now, I want to go to the message. We want to talk about hearing. Today, that's all you got today. Today we hear much of preaching. We hear much of not preaching. The art of attention, as I've already said, is so much more difficult than homiletics. How I do it, how I deliver it. And I know that I'm not good at that. I understand that. But it's not my abilities that count. It's what God said in His Word that counts. If I can get that out to you, and you will grasp it, and you will hear it with the intent of doing it. Like I said, if there's no intent in doing it, then you're wasting your time. Not wasting my time, because I'm dealing with the Scriptures. Amen. So when you hear the truth, you should give all your attention to it. When a preacher's preaching, and I don't care who he is, there needs to be eye contact with everybody in here. I said to a couple one time who were here, and they complained about everything I did, I don't want to go into it. It's depressing. But my response was, why do you keep looking at your feet? There's nothing down there that's sweet. They stink. They're going to be there when you get ready to go. You don't have to watch over them and make sure they're going to stay there. You sit there through the whole service and you complain about everything I do, everything I say, my actions, my emotions, everything I do, and you're looking at your feet the whole time. Do you know what really they can know if you're really sincere? If you give eye contact, and you watch who you're talking to. You ever see somebody talking to somebody, and they're standing over here, and you're standing over here, and you say, I'll tell you what I'll tell you. This is what we're doing. And they're over here looking that way, and they're over here looking. That's dumb. So we have church services where the people don't want to hear. And so it gets to the place to where they're not able to hear because the preachers have shut up. God said in Isaiah, I have people out there that are dumb dogs, can't even bark. What do you want from a preacher? You want a mealy mouth, milk toast, dodo, yo-yo that follows everybody's desires or wants? My wife said to me, when are you going to preach on? It's not just other people. My wife said, when are you going to preach in the Psalms again? I said, just as soon as the Holy Ghost tells me to. You know what she said? Watch me now. You're going to have a hard time believing this. This is profound. She said nothing. You say, why? Because I told her where it comes from. As dumb as I am, as hard as I am, harder it is for me to study. All those things. God can use a cedar post. If you'll just let Him. So with that being said, the commandment is meant to be a rule of action and or conduct. In other words, if you hear what we're talking about today, it should change your action and your conduct. And if it doesn't, then you don't have ears to hear. Okay? If it does, that means that you have ears to hear. Over and over again, we've gave that in the first message. How many times God says over and over again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saying. Amen. Well, I didn't hear anything but you hollering and screaming. But it goes into your mind, you're thinking, and you understand what he's talking about. By the way, hearing brings conviction. Who likes to be convicted? Now, Steve, I'm going to tell you what you need, boy. You know that board I was talking about a while ago? Amen. How old are you? 50? 50, 54? Probably older than that, but 54 is close enough. He don't want to hear that. He don't want to hear daddy say this and daddy say this and daddy do this. You know, I know I'm bragging. Okay, I'm bragging. There's a boy in here. I don't hardly ever hear that boy say yes or no to his mother, daddy, or his grandparents or anybody else. It's yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yesterday, Stephen was pushing that boy to the limit. Anything goes wrong, it's his fault. He says, yes, sir. Am I telling the truth? That boy only knows yes, sir. He don't know yes or no. We have a society today who listen, if you ever learn a lesson, young people learn to respect those elders, those people around you. And God will bless you. He will bless your life. So our text sets forth a precept. I'm going to preach on a precept. Where's that at? I forgot what it is. Precept, a proverb, a promise, and a practical use. Okay. So today we're just going to talk about the precept. The precept, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. These young people in school, most of the stuff you hear is puss. Straight out of hell. A guy told me one time, or he drawed his fist back to hit me one time when I told him I didn't want to hear his dirty joke. grown men. You too good to hear my joke? No, sir, I'm absolutely not too good. But I don't want you to dirty up my mind with some filthy joke that means nothing. The Bible tells the youth to flee youthful lust. I said a while ago about Bill Cosby, and I'm not going to get into all the reprobates in Hollywood. I'm not going to get into that. But it's funny. But it will pollute your mind. Filthy jokes. Let me tell you something. I've already dug a hole here. Let me just go ahead and dig it a little deeper. My wife says, every once in a while, my wife says, quit digging! Do you know one of the most powerful ways that your life can be influenced? Music. You know what the devil was in charge of in heaven before he was cast out? Music. Do you know what music does to our young people today? There's a station real close to the station we listen to at home, and it's basically a news station. Every once in a while it'll come over and they got the rappers on there. I've tried, Miss Jane, I've tried to understand what they're saying. I've tried. They've lost their mind. I'm not playing. You can listen to but when I was a kid, one of the honky tonk songs, "Stop the World and Let Me Off." The way you are, you ought to get off. If you could. Songs affect your life. Let me tell you something. I say this at Days of Refreshing all the time. Nobody's ever taken me up on it because they don't want nobody to tell them. I said, if you'll give me a sorry CD that you listen to, I'll give you a good in one of these groups that's here. I'll give you a good CD. Now, I know I can't go with them and I can't change a radio station, everything like this, but at least it puts the idea out there. You need good music. I'm not saying do away with music. I'm saying you need good music. You need to have music that will inspire and stir and draw your heart. We sang songs in preparation for the message. That's what we do. You need to hear with discrimination, bad music, jokes, filthiness. John chapter 10, verse 5 talks about that we need to watch out about false doctrine. Now watch me now. Somebody's going to say something. Maybe you won't say it today, whatever. Baptismal regeneration is a false doctrine. Water cannot wash away your sin. The Bible says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ." Doesn't say nothing about water. What is water baptism? And you know, you ask somebody, "What are you saved?" They say, "Well, I got baptized back." Big deal. I'm not talking about baptism. Baptism is a picture of what happened to you spiritually. You put you down, you're dying. And you're raised to a new life. Now watch me. If you want to live the way you've always lived, then we just hold you under. let's talk about the principle. Let's talk about what we're talking about. It's a lot of that stuff makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And yet people hold on to that more than anything else. Oh, they're good people. Hell is going to be permeated with good people. It's hard to get a good person saved than it is an old sorry no count that's give his life to the devil all of his life. That person's easier to get in than somebody's a good person. And brother, goodness, if you think you're good, we need to talk. So, you need to hear with discrimination. I'm almost getting close to being through. Amen. I bet I can get amens there. Amen. To hear with discrimination. I'm not criticizing Killeen, Corpus Cove, but these military bases that go off and marry overseas and bring those people back, they bring back the doctrines of their idols. There's a place over here, I don't even know what it is. I mean, I've seen Buddha worships and all that stuff like that. There's a place right over here, let's see, it's right there in Harker Heights. Turn there by that high school and go back this way. There's a... And man, I want you to know I never seen so many cars and stuff over. I mean, they're having a spell. The people are really supporting this here. I don't know what they believe. Can't read the sign. But I'm going to tell you something. Brother, this is where it's at. and it's in English. And if you can't understand me, you tell me and I'm going to do a better job. But this is God's Word. So hear with attention. Give your attention. We've already talked about it. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. You need to work at it to retain what God says. What do we say at Victory Baptist Church before you leave this church building? What should you do? Seal these truths to my heart. Seal these truths to my heart. Only God can do that. You try to remember what we did last week. Just go ahead on and try to remember and tell me what you gleaned from last week. Most of you can't do it. I'm not being critical. I'm saying the devil is able to snatch that stuff away from us. But if God seals it to your heart, when you likely expect it, God will bring that truth to your heart. He's able to do that. And then hear for yourself. I got right here Zelma Adams. Wrote down here Zelma Adams. You got your hearing on? Can you hear me? Hey, good, that's good. I want to make sure she could hear me. Hear for yourself. I mean, periodically you should say, well, Brother Pruitt needed that. Amen. And I know that's the truth because Miss Jane told me. No. But I know me. And I know I need what I'm saying to you this morning. That's because there's a God in heaven who feeds me as I feed you and increases my understanding of the Scriptures so I might do it again. So hear for yourself. Personal application. Listen to this. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 9 talks about little Samuel. And the Lord was speaking to him. And when he would get up and run into, in the middle of the night, he would run into Eli, the priest, and he'd say, did you call? Here am I. And the priest said, I didn't call you. Go back and go to bed. He'd go back and get in bed. The Holy Ghost was talking to him again. A little bit, he'd jump up and run in there. And finally, Eli said, just lay there and ask him, here am I, Lord. What do you want? He's just a little old kid. Hearing for yourself is so important. Not your wife, not your husband. Your kids, hear for yourself. And then lastly, hear practically. What do you mean practically, Brother Bailey? What are you talking about? If what I've told you this morning is not applying your life, you have wasted this morning. And we're not going to let you have dinner with us. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But what if you compare this with that? What's going to last you? What's going to endure you? What's going to get you through? What's going to help you? It's going to be this right here. That's all there is to it. So you need to hear and apply practically. What does it mean to you? Eternal life, are you hearing me? Or death in hell? Everything should come to that. We hear these people all the time talking about, I'll see you in heaven, as if there is no hell. If there is no hell, there is no heaven. Hearing practically. Obey the exhortation to you from God. I want you to look at, and you can turn over there if you want to, in Jeremiah chapter 26, in verse 13 says this, therefore now amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent himself of the evil that he hath purposed against you. They had one of the most terrible hurricanes come into New Orleans a number of years ago. Destroyed it. This is Barhoology now. This is Brother Billy. They were having a homosexual day there the next day. Parades and everything on the earth. In that town, and the hurricane came in and destroyed it to the be that it may not be back to where it was as it was back then. Now you say what you want to, it's okay, but who's in control of the wind? Who's in control of the storms? Who's in control of all things? Did you know that the one thing that God is not totally in control of, and He is literally in control of your life, it's your will. Would you will to hear what God has this morning? Would you will to believe with every fiber of your being that God is in control of every aspect of your life? Would you dare to believe because of your hearing? Without hearing, you don't have that option. Would you stand with me, please, as we pray? Father, I bless you and I praise you and I thank you for this privilege. But most of all, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that what you've said you mean, and what you mean you've revealed. Lord, would you help us to seal these truths to our hearts? Help me, God, seal these truths to my heart. Do a work in my life that no one else can do. And bless my efforts, dear Father, here at Victory Baptist Church. And accomplish your feats and your goals here through your people. And Lord, we'll bless you and praise you and thank you for all that you do. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless our fellowship next door and the food.